Are you anxious about something today? Pastor Dave Rolfe shares these thoughts.
You can't change your past. You can't change those circumstances. You can't control the economy. You can't control your professional life. There's so much that you can't control. And if all of that is what's causing you to be a bundle of nerves, to be stressed and anxious, you're in trouble because you can't change any of that. What we all have to figure out is my anxieties are an indication of something that's wrong with me, something that's broken within me. Another person cannot make me anxious. Anxiety is my response to what another person does that they have perfect freedom to do.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Maybe you feel as though nobody understands me or gets me. Truth be told, God knows you better than you know yourself. And it's freeing to come to realize He sees who you are and is okay with it. The great thing about a relationship with God is we can be completely honest with Him. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll take a look at this God who knows us and learn how we can experience a wonderful relationship with Him. Psalm 139 is the place to be, and that's where we join Dave Rolfe as he continues through the Bible in stories.
Finally, as he winds up the discussion, you know, it's funny, he started out, Lord, you have searched me and known me. And he ends by saying, so search me, O God, and know my heart. Here is his ultimate submission to what he doesn't understand, because on the basis of the knowledge that he has of God. And so he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, it is kind of ironic in the English where he said, kill the wicked. And then he says, look at what's wicked in me. It's actually two different Hebrew words for wicked. And the one that he uses here, see if there's any wicked way in me, is a Hebrew word that it sometimes refers to idolatry, but at its base definition, it's talking about something painful. And so he talks about his anxiety, and he talks about his pain, and he says, I want you to work in me. I thought you could really make my life better if you killed all the right people. But the truth is, I want you. I trust you enough that even not understanding what you do, I'm opening my heart to you and on the deepest level possible. The deepest place that you can enter in a relationship with someone is to share your anxieties, is to share your pain and your brokenness that you have. Because you got those pains and those anxieties partly because of people. So to trust someone and say, here, is a great step of trust. It's a deep aspect of relationship. Anxieties. And the King James says, you know my thoughts, but it's really a word that refers to anxious thoughts, anxieties. Anxieties drive our lives so much. You can't talk about who you really are without talking about what you're stressed about. Anxiety is one of the greatest causes for a need for medical care. It creates all sorts of bad medical conditions. Most bad habits are there to alleviate anxiety. It's just a huge problem that we get uptight wrestling with things that we have a hard time pulling together. And most of us aren't even aware of the things that make us anxious. We just know we're anxious. Much less do we know why something makes us anxious. Why is it that when you're driving your car and somebody just kind of goes speeding past or cuts you off, why does that still bother you the next day? Why do you start to hate certain cars because they tend to drive that way? You know, what is it that when, you know, how come when you come home and somebody who you love says, oh, how was your day? And already you're like, oh, I don't want to talk about my day. No, let's not go there. I don't want you talking about your day either. I just don't want to talk about days, period. Why is that? Seems like an innocuous question, but there's always things beneath the surface with us that are creating stress in our life, creating anxieties. Sometimes you can look at your life and you can easily figure out. You're living at such a ridiculous pace. You're spending more money that you have. You're trusting people who aren't trustworthy. You're in a situation where there's more questions than answers. Anxiety can be a normal part of life, but the biggest value of relationships is to be able to have another person look at you and take a guess at what they think is going on. Because, I mean, I could make my life pretty good if I could control everyone else in it. I could really get pretty comfortable today if I just had that. You know, that's why your birthdays tend to be a better day than every other day in the year, because people kind of like, okay, it's your birthday, fine, we'll eat what you want to eat. Okay, you want to be left alone on your birthday, okay, we'll leave you alone. But imagine if your whole life was that way, one big birthday, it'd be okay. But look, in real life, you don't get to control other people. You almost never do, and if you control them, it's through manipulation, and it doesn't create what you really want to create from it. The truth is, most of your environment, you can't make a significant change. The only thing that's wrong in this world that you can seriously change is what's wrong in you. The only thing I can change is what's wrong in me. But the problem is, I become so delusional about who I am because I've become so used to blaming other people for the way that I am that instead of saying, you know, I'm a jerk, I go, well, you know, I had parents who did this and I had to go through that and I have this medical thing going on and I have all excuses for why I'm a jerk. Instead of just realizing, actually, the person that's the worst influence on my life is me. But that's a hard thing to see because, like you, I know that even though I'm messed up, I know that other people are so much more messed up than I am. And you know the same thing about you. But guess what? Even if that's true, and I don't question that you might be the best person you know, you probably don't know many people, but and that's probably why. But you might be right, but guess what? You can't change those people. You can't change your past. You can't change those circumstances. You can't control the economy. You can't control your professional life. There's so much that you can't control. And if all of that is what's causing you to be a bundle of nerves, to be stressed and anxious, then you're just, you know, there are a lot of words I can think of to use, but I won't. But you're in trouble because you can't change any of that. What we all have to figure out is my anxieties are an indication of something that's wrong with me, something that's broken within me. Another person cannot make me anxious. Anxiety is my response to what another person does that they have perfect freedom to do. And so as I begin to, with the Lord's help, as I open my life to Him and I go, I want you to shine a light on my anxieties, and I want you to show me where I am hurting myself. I want you to get to the source of the pain that's in my life. And you need to lead me in the everlasting way, literally in the way that's like on a higher plane. I don't want to live my life in a way that everything I do dies. I want to live my life in a way that I'm living on a different plane. And that's the appeal. That's these two verses. And for me, gosh, I pray this so often to the Lord. And what I do sometimes, I'll go out for a walk on the beach or something, and I'll just go, okay, God, I am giving you permission. I'm opening my heart. Anything I'm messing up, you can show me. You can show me what I'm doing wrong. And so then I begin to think about my recent anxieties. And I'll say, okay, God, when that person said that about me, I felt myself tense up. I don't know why. Why? Why do I let other people control how I feel? Why do I let worrying about what other people are gonna do even determine the confidence with which I do what I feel like I'm supposed to do? Why do I give people permission to control my anxiety level? What am I doing wrong? And so often, God will just so lovingly and gently let me know, you know, you did, you cared too much about what those people said. You worry too much about how people assess you, how you look, what they think. I love you. I approve of you completely. My son died so that I could. And, you know, you're stressing about things that are imaginary. You're stressing about things that aren't real. And so then I can just go, wow, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And so then I see all of a sudden the issue is not the person that said something unkind to me. The issue becomes how I respond when people say unkind things to me. And it becomes a really powerful opportunity for self-examination. And this is what, you know, is the pinnacle, really, of a relationship with God, is telling him, okay, I'm going to open myself up and you can say anything. You can show me anything. I actually want you to. I'm inviting you to the deepest level of intimacy ever, that level that can say, yeah, here's what you're doing wrong. Here's what you're doing that's hurting you, maybe hurting others too. You can't hear that from just anyone. Most of us in our lives have very few people to which we could sincerely say, I want you to tell me anything you see that you think might be causing me issues in my life. And even fewer people would tell us if we allowed them to. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with God, because he's really loving and gentle about it, and he's wise. See, if I ask you, what do you think is my biggest problem as a pastor? Oh, I'm sure you could come up with a huge list, no doubt about it. But I know already, they're all wrong. Because I know more about being a pastor than you do. Who do you think you are telling me how to do it? See, but I'm only partly joking about that, but I just want you to understand I'm not soliciting that. Honestly, there are people who have pointed out flaws in my ministry that I'm very grateful for, and I appreciate it so much. But they don't go here anymore. I don't want them here. No. But the thing is, what do you say to God? God, you don't know what's involved with being a pastor. Yeah, right. Really? God, you don't know what it's like to be human and have limits. Jesus goes, excuse me. Yes, I do. And so ultimately, to get to that point where we give him permission to do it. The cool thing is, the deeper relationship you have with God, the greater relationships you can have with people as well. Because now what they say isn't so threatening. You've already been with God and you've trusted him even when you didn't understand him, and you've gone through this feeling of, I want you here, no I don't. And so now with people, it follows that. Sometimes there are people who are considered to be really godly people, but they don't have any people in their lives. And usually I think that maybe their godliness, it can be just a guise. Maybe they've never got to the point where they could really be honest with God. And as a result, they keep people at a distance too, because they're scared to death that somebody's going to see who we really are. Once we know that God sees who we really are and he's okay with it, frees us up to not be so worried about what other people think of us. Now, going through this whole psalm, I can see several places where a relationship can break down. Several places where our relationship with God may break down. But let's consider it from a human standpoint first. Sometimes you meet someone and it seems like they know you. But that's kind of threatening, because like, wait, I haven't even told you all this stuff. Have you been, you know, but you have a decision. Do I like the fact that they seem to know me, that there's this connection, or does that scare me? And I'm going to just go, no, you don't know me. And I'm not going to let you get close. I'm not going to show it to you. Breakdown right there. For many people, that's where most of their relationships end. They don't even get to the point where they're okay with another person knowing who they are and what they think. But then that next phase is one that really scares people away, because you start to get uncomfortable being close to someone, trusting someone. That level of intimacy becomes, I like the idea of having a relationship with you, but keep your distance. Don't probe too much, because I just don't want I've been hurt before, and I just don't want someone getting that close. And then at this point, you're going, yeah, they do seem to know me, but I'm thinking they've been Googling me or have a private detective following me or something. That's not. I want my privacy. And we start becoming paranoid, and that will interrupt a relationship. Then when you get to the part of the relationship where you've been friends with someone close to them long enough that they know you really well, then you can go, there's so much of who I am that you've actually contributed to. You've actually helped make me who I am. I'm a product of people like you and other people who've spoken into my lives that, you know, but now I can go, I don't like that. In fact, at that point in a relationship, you can start getting paranoid that, yeah, you have made me who I am, and I think you've been manipulating me, and I think you've been, you know, I'm losing who I am. I used to be a different way. Being with you, I've turned into something else, and maybe you've just turned me into a complete phony or like a clone of you. There's an opportunity there just to shut off a relationship. But in any relationship, if you can work through all of that, the toughest one is when the person's doing things that you don't like, you don't approve of, and you are perfectly certain that what they're doing is sin. It's wrong. It's bad. That's where, ultimately, faith comes in, and that's the ultimate test of a relationship, is that when you do things that are actually repulsive to me, will I stay? Will I allow that connection? And you'll never have a deep relationship with anyone until you can say what they do that you think is nuts, but it hasn't come between you. That you can actually share that and laugh about it, and they can share it about you. Till you get to that point, it's not a deep relationship, but when you get to that point, there's a decision that you have to make. Am I willing for this to abide and to go deeper, or am I going to protect myself from risk by just going, I knew it was too good to be true, you're gone. That's it. This is over. It's what, you know, in the biblical days, back in Deuteronomy, when it talked about divorce, the law said that if a man finds fault in his wife, he should give her a bill of divorcement and put her away. It was pretty easy for guys, bad deal for women. The law was actually there to protect women from just being rejected by their husbands, but then still not being able to marry someone else. So traditions developed along different lines, and some traditions would say, well, what that's talking about is if they do something, if they cheat on you, or they do something really horrible to you. Other people said, it's kind of like the way we see divorce today. It's like, no, if you find fault in her, write her a divorce and send her off. And they even had these discussions, and the rabbis would kick back and forth. Some of them believed that if she burnt your dinner, that was sufficient. You did it. You know what I expect? Here you go. Consider yourself a divorced person. You know, down at the synagogue, they have a divorced fellowship, and you'll fit right in there with all the other people who can't cook. You know, and so, but that's so often what we do. It's like, I don't like the way you said this. I don't like the way you did that. I just saw you without your makeup. And so it's like, you have a decision. Do you want a relationship? Enough to be okay with another person having the right to do what they're going to do, and you're not going to cut them off. And many, many human relationships end at that. And very few even get to the point where you can truly open your heart to someone. And that's hugely risky, because you may ask that question. If you see any painful way in me, if you see reason for my anxieties, just tell me. And then they do, and you're like, boy, was that a mistake. Because in a relationship, you have to be sensitive. Think about being like God. How often and how clear is he to just bombard us with our failure? He doesn't do that. And in a good relationship, you respond to this invitation in a gracious way. But at the same time, for many people, they just can't get to that point. Or maybe they open their life to someone and then they get hurt. That becomes, you know, it's like, they go, yeah, the painful way in you is the way you treat people. And they're like, the painful way in you is what you just said to me about the way I treat people. And boom, it all breaks apart. In the same way that these steps in this psalm can provide opportunities to destroy human relationships, for many of us, they've destroyed our relationship with God at different times and in different ways. Think about it. For some people, they've never even got to the point where they can accept that God knows them at all. So they go through life, they may like talking about God, they may go to church, but they've never even really started a relationship with him. They've never really decided that they would trust him to know them. And so if that's you and you've never really entered into a relationship with God through Jesus, you lost the relationship before it even started. And that's really tragic because he knows you better than you know yourself. He certainly knows you better than anyone else does. And you'll never be able to have really vital relationships with anyone until you discover a relationship with him.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We have a few minutes left, so let's return to Psalm 139.
For the vast majority of us, probably the place where our relationship with God breaks down is when he does things that we don't like. When the things that we want him to do, he doesn't do. We pray and we know what I'm praying for is totally the best thing that could happen. And that doesn't happen. I ask for a job. What could be more in God's will for me than that if he loves me? And he doesn't give me the job right away. He doesn't give me the job that I want. And I start to go, God, if you're God, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what's happened in my life. I'm having a hard time believing that what happened to me was your plan, your glorious plan that we all talk about. There are always going to be things that God does and God allows that we don't understand. See, the other alternative would be for us to be God. We decide what to happen. We ask, God does it. Great, everybody's happy. And then God's just really tiny. But for many of us, we never got over the disappointment of God not killing the right people and killing the wrong people instead. And we lose people that we love and we just go, I can't be close to a God like that. Mentally and spiritually, I believe in him because I don't get it. But frankly, I just don't want that much to do with him because I don't know what he's thinking. It just doesn't seem quite right. And we begin to ask the questions, but we're not okay when God doesn't answer. And when God's answer is, just look at the world that I created like he did to Job. Just look at the glory. I mean, look how fearfully and wonderfully you're made. And again, you know, when you're young, you look, oh, I'm wonderfully made. And as you get older, you're more fearfully made. But it's like, I don't see that as having anything to do with why somebody that I loved isn't here anymore. I don't know what that has to do with an economy crashing and taking away my retirement. I don't know what, you know, oh yeah, you know, it's a great world and all that, but how am I supposed to feel close to God? How am I supposed to feel this intimacy with God when I don't get what he's doing? And I'm kind of mad at him for what he does and for what he doesn't do. And I frankly think he's screwing it up. Well, if so, then you're looking for a God that's just like you. But can you get beyond that to have a relationship with him by saying, God, I'm going to always be honest with you. So when I don't get it, I'm going to tell you. And every once in a while, I'm going to give you a hit list of people that, as far as I'm concerned, you could kill them. And if even one of them died, I would like be praising you. And, you know, who can you share it with? But still, you know, between me and you, yes. Or we go, God, I'm going to just tell you how I feel. And then I'm going to trust you anyway.
We're going through the Bible in stories with Pastor Dave Rolfe. And there's much more to come next week. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.